Amen. Amen. It is it's such a delight to be able to work with our ministry leaders. There's many of them at Westwood. Some are paid and have the privilege of receiving a paycheck. Many are volunteer. Most are volunteer. And we work together, we serve together, we pray together, and it's a great joy to be able to serve this church family, to serve the city, indeed to serve the world, to bring the good news of Jesus to the world. And so just a delight to be here this morning, because our family's been away for a little bit over spring break. Has anyone else had a chance to get away a little bit over the spring break? Yeah? Was it a good thing? Yes, I see that hand. We saw you in Disneyland. Yes. My feet are still tired. Oh, my. We blitzed Disney 3 days, 40 hours in the park in 3 days, and my watch tracked the steps, and oh my goodness, there was many of them, and we were sore. And so we had an opportunity to get away and be refreshed. Our oldest is graduating from high school, and so we thought, what could we do that would kind of celebrate this chapter turning in our life? We know that it's not that she's going to disappear, but or we hope that she's not, but it's going to be different, right? Families change, they develop, and so what can we do that would build some memories and really kind of be together as a family and have some fun? And so we spent 3 days in Disney, and then we visited some family that I hadn't seen for a number of years in Alberta, which was great as my family and their clans grow and stuff. So it was really good. And we went to church in my brother's church in Alberta, and that was awesome. It was great to kind of go somewhere else and to visit, but I love coming back to my church family. And so when I was driving back from Edmonton and making our way this way, there's something about your church family, about my church family, right? That's becoming home. And so so this morning, as we've been worshiping together, it's so good to be with you, the Westwood family, our church family, and to serve the Lord together and to look to Jesus together as we walk with Him. And so welcome here. If you are a newcomer this morning here, welcome, special welcome to you. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to the book of 1 John. And we're in this teaching series called Living in the Light. And we're going to pick it up where we left off last week in this short little book. You know, many years ago, I started a practice of prayer walking as a part of my spiritual disciplines. And prayer walking for me is fairly simple. I look for a place in the city or in the town that we live in, and hopefully it's a bit of a slower kind of paced place. Often it's a park, and it helps me to slow down and kind of just get my bearings again. And I take 30 to 60 minutes or so, and I meander along as I pray. I reflect on the scriptures, I listen to what God's Spirit is saying to me through His Word, and I talk to God. I talk to God quietly, and I talk to God out loud. Sometimes it depends on who's around me if I choose one or the other, but that's a little bit about my relationship with the Lord. And it helps me to stay grounded and anchored as I look to Him. It's been a very meaningful part of my relationship with Jesus, prayer walking. So a couple of years ago, I was on one of these prayer walks, and I came across a couple of younger men who were standing close to the walking path that I was walking on. And as I drew near, I looked up and I gave them a smile, as any polite Canadian would do. And that smile was their invitation to take a step out and to approach me personally. And so as they approached me, as they drew near to me, it was only then when I saw their name tags on their white t-shirts, or actually dress shirts, and black pants, and I realized that that these friendly young men were two young Mormon men doing a part of what is their faith convictions, sharing what they embrace as good news to other people who will hear. So we started up a conversation, and they were thrilled to hear that I was a Christian. I don't know what their day was like leading up to that point, but there was a fresh shot of energy that as they saw, wow, we hit a home run. We've run into another one of us, a Christian, and they were like preaching to the choir. And this fresh energy came about them as they and I talked together. So we talked, and we shared some ideas. And then I shifted the focus onto how Jesus is the central figure in my life. He's the main protagonist of my faith journey in Jesus Christ. And that how Jesus was the one with whom I could have a relationship with God and Jesus alone. And these two young men smiled and nodded, and then they said, yes, Jesus, he was a good person. He was a good person. But have you heard about Joseph Smith? You see, Joseph Smith has a more recent revelation, a fresher insight from God, and we have his words in his book here as well. And so together with the scriptures and the Book of Mormon, they tried to present their case to me as to how I should kind of engage with this person of Joseph Smith. And they said, would you like to hear what he has to say? So the conversation developed and it kind of went on from there, but it became clear that we were on two different pages. Two young men, well-intentioned, working from a mixture of the scriptures, Jesus, and the Book of Mormon, this newer revelation, and they struggled to see how Jesus could be God. And here I was, in faith, working from the scriptures, from history, and my personal testimony, I firmly believed that Jesus is God, is the central figure of my life and my faith, and has transformed me and is transforming people all over the world and has been doing so for 2,000 years. And here we were. So this message this morning is an encouragement to two groups of people. The first group of people that I want to speak to and with is those who may not yet follow Jesus. I am firmly convinced that on any given week, when people come to Westwood Church, there are those who don't know Jesus or who don't proclaim to know Jesus. They might be curious. They might be wondering. They might have questions about faith. The life crises or crises of faith may have brought them here, but they have not yet surrendered their life to Jesus. Some people have deep theological, you know, challenges, wondering, well, like, Jesus, like, could he be both human and divine? And if there is a God, why would he choose to enter this world in human form? If this describes you and you are here, I want to say, I am so glad you're here and welcome. And I'm praying that God would meet you here this morning in a very real and personal way, demonstrating just how real he is. The second group is to those who do follow Jesus. And I pray that this message will be an encouragement to you to stay faithful to Jesus and to Jesus alone. And it is a warning to the church family at large to be on the lookout, to be on their guard for those in the body who say, yes, Jesus, he is a good person. He is a good dude. But have you heard about this new insight, this fresh revelation, this specific person? This church is one of the emphases in 1 John chapter 2, where John, the pastor of this church, close disciple of Jesus Christ, is challenging his congregation to stay faithful to Jesus and to Jesus alone. Flip to your Bible, 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. Here's the warning. It starts with a warning, actually. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they didn't really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. You first look at that passage and you wonder if it's some kind of a paragraph from an end times book, but it's not so. Not so at all. John is speaking to his church family and he is warning them, followers of Jesus, that the spirit of the present age, which is an Antichrist spirit, is not just somewhere out there in the world. It's not just that everyone who says no to Jesus or who cannot possibly imagine that Jesus is God, it's not just out there, but it actually finds its way sometimes and unfortunately into the lives of those who do proclaim to follow Jesus. Yes, Jesus, he is a good person, but... And as a pastor, I have come across these folks over the years, and it's always a big discouragement. Because on one hand, you think that this person is well-anchored, well-rooted, but for some reason, for some purpose, it's not as anchored. It's not as rooted as you would like, as you would hope. And so it's an opportunity to teach and disciple and to help grow, but it's also a reality for some people. They aren't all about Jesus. So believers need to be on their guard. Well, what's the warning? Or what's the problem? Verse 21. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The two go together. Jesus the Son, God the Father. So what's the problem that's found its way into this church? It seems like some of these people have embraced in the past that Jesus is who he said he was. They would have been people who claimed to understand the gospel. What's the gospel? Well, in a very short form, the gospel could be described as God creating the world. And in his wonderful creation, relationship between humankind and him was broken. Sin wrecked this relationship and it created disaster all over the world, and we feel it to this day. God said, I'm going to do something about it because I love creation and I love my created beings so much. And so he sent his Son, Jesus, into the world to demonstrate just how much he loves us by ultimately going to a cross, being hung on it, dying so that our sin could be forgiven. Through his death, our sin was dealt with once and for all, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again, giving us victory over sin, giving us victory over death, and now we can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And one day, Jesus says he is coming back to make all things new so that it will be like it once was at the beginning, restoration. The gospel. So some of these people had said, yeah, we kind of understand this. That's us. And their pastor, John, one of Jesus' closest friends and disciples, is saying, yes, you claimed this. So then why are you also saying, yes, but? It's not about but or and. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. He who denies that Jesus is the Christ is the Antichrist. So the pastor of this church is one who has walked with Jesus for 3 years. He has witnessed Jesus and Moses and Abraham on this mountainside in this unbelievable event where these people were transfigured, and it all kind of just blew John away. He was there when Jesus took his last breath on the cross. He was there when Jesus had already risen from the grave and was now walking with people and talking with people. He was there when Jesus ascended back into heaven. John is a firsthand eyewitness of Jesus' life, and his congregation could either say, yes, you are a credible pastor, that in fact Jesus is the Christ, or no, you're delusional. But for the record, firsthand eyewitnesses which with that much evidence over a three-year period are generally seen as credible in their convictions. Some of these folks had said, I like Jesus, but he's not God. Good man, good teacher, historical figure, did some cool things, but pretty hard to imagine him being both human and divine. So I'm going to choose to believe that Jesus was just human because I can't wrap my head around something else. And if I'm going to choose to believe that Jesus was just human, I will also choose to believe that Jesus is not God. Do you know there's many in our city, there's many in our province, there's many in our country who resonate with this kind of thinking. Jesus, historical person, good teacher, moral example, yes. But God? Don't think so. And John, this firsthand eyewitness, says that the one who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Christ, is God, is actually a liar and the Antichrist. Now, this is just my personal thinking, but I think that one of the challenges that comes with acknowledging all of the good things that we admire about Jesus' life on this earth, and then agreeing that he is also God, if we kind of wrestle with that, we then also have to agree to surrender our lives to this God, this one who has created all things and is over all things. And frankly, who likes to surrender to anyone? Do you like to put your life under someone else's? Or would you rather have control of your life? Do you like to come under the direction of someone else? Or would you rather have it your way? Who desires to live for another when living for self looks so much more appealing? That is a challenge for all of us. It's for all of us. But if Jesus is not the Christ, then what is the point of life? If Jesus is not the Christ, what is the point of any of this? We have all come here for who knows why. If Jesus is not the Christ, let us go home. We're wasting our time. I'm wasting your time. I'm wasting my time. We should do whatever we want to do with our lives. We should live for self. We should satisfy the lust of the eyes. We should satisfy the lust of the flesh. We should satisfy the pride of life. Why serve God? Why serve other people if Jesus is not the Christ? You know, we just heard this morning about our plans to serve 150 children and tell them about what we believe to be the good news, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. We sang about songs this morning elevating Jesus, talking about his goodness, talking about his power and his might, talking about his salvation work. And like, am I just out to lunch or like, or was the Spirit of God in this place as we're singing together and worshiping? See, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power when God's people gather and they lift up his name. We hear testimonies about God transforming people's lives. We preach from these ancient texts about God's desire to bring all nations under his reign so that they might worship and serve him. We go about bringing Jesus in all that we do, or that's what we try to encourage. Why do we do this? Because we believe that Jesus is God. That's what Westwood Church affirms. If you have ever wondered that before, wonder no longer. Westwood Church affirms that Jesus Christ is God. He is the one who saves. He's not just some good person in history. He doesn't just give a fine moral example for other people to follow. He is God in the flesh who penetrated our world to show us how much he loves you. If you have joined us this morning and you're in the group that isn't quite there yet, you're not convinced, you're a little uncertain that Jesus is God, you're maybe curious, I simply want to share a couple of points of encouragement with you about this to kind of drive it a little deeper. If Jesus is actually God, it means that God has made himself known. This is really, really important. Think about this. Many faith systems throughout history cannot imagine a God who would make themselves known to human beings. Just do a little bit of personal study on world religions and faith systems. A deity is often viewed as intangible, untouchable, unknowable, far off, distant, scary, fearful. So what do people do? They find things that can kind of be a bit of a mediator in their life. So some people put trinkets around their rearview mirrors in some countries to help them look to God. Some other people go to in-between people, to mediators. Others put substitutes as objects of their worship, as something that they can actually touch and look to and kind of and worship. But John, Jesus' closest disciple, said that God became flesh, skin and bone, in the person of Jesus, who lived among humankind, who lived among us to bring light to the world so that we could see and to reveal truth so that we could understand reality. And then John says, and to all those who believe this, they become children of God. That God wants to be known by you and by me is absolutely amazing. Personal, relational, up close. So if in fact God has entered our world in the person of Jesus, then truth is not just a matter of personal experience, which is also a spirit of our age. Personal experience. I believe this, therefore it is true. I want to believe this, therefore it's true. No, truth then is a matter of history and objectivity, something that is actually tangible and verifiable. Can you anchor your life to something that has happened, been recorded in history, and has impacted people's lives for 2 millennia? We do it with other things. Why not with a person who is like no other? See, our family has this getaway over the spring break. And on our getaway, we were scheduled to fly on a brand new Boeing 737 MAX 8. I've heard that the Boeing 737 MAX 8 is a real nice plane. Except that it has a few issues that some of the pilots who fly them must be made aware of and haven't always. So Just several days before we were scheduled to fly, I was thankful that our government finally grounded them. So I never did personally experience a flight on a Boeing 737 MAX 8. But you know what? I don't need to in order to believe that two of those planes tragically and unfortunately crashed in the past 5 months. It is a matter of objective truth recorded in aviation history, now known, unfortunately, to the entire world. The fact that Jesus influenced the world in amazing ways 2,000 years ago and has been doing so ever since is unchallenged. If, in fact, Jesus was God, then God has made himself known, and he wants to be known by you. What a God. But it also means that God cares about you. A God who loves, does not distance, does not separate, but he draws near. Why? Because he cares deeply about you. He cares deeply about me. For what purpose? To have a relationship. To forgive you from your sin, to release you from bondage, to free you to love and to serve him and others all your life. It means salvation is possible if God has in fact penetrated our world through Jesus. Because without the shedding of blood, there can't be forgiveness for sin. Jesus, the sinless one, the perfect sacrifice, God's Son, becomes the one. Fully human, fully divine, body broken, blood shed, demonstrating God's love for you and me, sinners who need help. And salvation is possible. So today, to the group of people that maybe are uncertain or unsure, I invite you to step closer to this one who loves you. To even say yes. Because he's been changing lives for 2 millennia, and he continues to do so. Just look around you. So that's the one group of people. The second group of people that this text really kind of points to is an encouragement to those who have said yes to Jesus to stay faithful. Verse 24, as for you, you who know truth, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. If you've said yes to Jesus, if you've embraced this conviction that Jesus is God, remain in it. Parents, this is our mandate as we train our children and as our teenagers in the Lord. What we have known, what we have experienced, what we have endured and persevered in, that is what we are to pass on to our children as they grow up, and to do so with consistency and humility and perseverance. Now, at some point, our children have to take that baton, choose to hold it, choose to run with it, and figure out whether or not they want to do with Jesus what we hope and pray they will do. But up until that point, may our homes be places of diligent commitment to Jesus and to the scriptures which point to Jesus as God. What you have known, remain in it. Young adults, university students, college students, if you have proclaimed a faith in Jesus, the challenge to remain in it is for you. Oh, it's for you. You live in a good age, but in a challenging one. You hear lots of skepticism. You hear lots of uncertainty. You hear lots of outright rejection of God. Anyone 30 and under, you live in such a post-Christian world that the notion of God is not even on many people's radars, which actually might make it good soil in which to kind of talk and think about spiritual things with other people. But you don't have it easy. And John's encouragement to you is to remain in what you have heard from the beginning. My wife, she would tell you that that it took her until her third year of her undergrad degree before her Christian faith was seen as credible in the academic circles in which she ran. Consistency, reasonable logic, humility, relational warmth, and top grades were what it took for her to have a voice in academia. Don't give up, young people. Don't give up. You can make a difference, but remain. Remain in it. Remain in what you have heard and known and believed from the beginning. Paul says to Timothy, this younger pastor, encouraging him to do the same, but as for you, continue, Timothy, in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. You know those people who went before you. You know their life. You know their example. You know how they kind of lived and persevered through their faith, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture, Paul says, is God-breathed, it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be fully equipped for every good work. Embrace the Scriptures which you have believed from the beginning. And then second, encouragement, and embrace the Spirit of God who lives within you. John says, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him, what's this anointing he's talking about? It's this Holy Spirit of God dwelling within every disciple. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. These two things, the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit of God, they work together in the person's life. They never contradict each other. They're always in harmony. And some people were forgetting this. Yes, we like Jesus, but someone else over here has this kind of interesting thing to say, and he seems to be pretty authoritative. I want to kind of dabble in that. No, John says, remain in that which you have known from the beginning. Live it, believe it, walk in it. So how do we remain vigilant? How do we remain steadfast? By embracing what we already have been taught and allowing the Spirit of God who lives within you to fully guide and lead you in His Word, and to come together as a community of fellow believers, we can stand firm, we can walk confidently in our relationship with Jesus, we can make a lasting impact right here in our neighborhoods in Prince George, where many do not yet know that Jesus Christ is God. I want to pray with you, and this morning I'd like to pray specifically with those who may be here, and up until this point, you've not said yes to Jesus for whatever reason. Again, so glad you're here, but maybe today you want to take a step closer. Maybe today you've said, yeah, I'm choosing to believe, because there is an aspect of faith. I have come to Jesus in faith that He is who He said He is. If that's you today, and you want to take that step into the life of Jesus and to experience a new chapter, I want to pray with you. So would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much that you are here and you're with us. We believe this to be true. I believe this to be true. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe that. I believe it because I see you working in people's lives all around. And we're so thankful. If you're here today and you want to take that step, would you pray within your own heart and mind? You don't have to say it out loud. You can speak it quietly. Jesus, for some reason, today, something made sense. And so today, I am making a decision to move to you. I am making a decision to say, yes, you are God, you love me, and you want a relationship with me. I'm thanking you today, Jesus, for loving me so much that you actually died for me so that my sin and shame and brokenness could be dealt with and forgiven once and for all. And today I'm asking for that forgiveness, that you would make me clean, new, and help me walk with you and start a new chapter in my life. And Jesus, I want to stay faithful to you. Whatever comes my way, with these people, with the people of God, with the Church of Jesus Christ, thank you that you love me and that you are here walking with me starting today. Lord, I pray that you would work and hover by your Spirit and according to your will and your good pleasure, and you would seal every decision that might be made for those who are maybe off track or have kind of got discouraged, wondering that, not sure if you're good, not sure if you're God. Lord, would you remind them today again gently by your Spirit that you are who you said you are. We thank you that you will transform us. And we pray these things in your most holy and awesome and powerful name. Amen. Let's stand together as we worship.